Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. This show is presented by Dr. Ben McMillan of the Neal Clinic, who's responsible for information and opinions expressed during the show.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you.
All right. Good morning. My name is Dr. Ben McMillan, and I am a chiropractor and the owner of the Neal Clinic located on Creighton Road. And I do feel good this morning. Rain's gone. Beautiful outside. I'm looking forward to the weekend. What about you, Jenna?
Oh, this is perfect weather. I'm excited. So much happening this weekend, and I'm just ready for it.
Me too. I know sometimes I get off on tangents during these shows and I'll start talking about these rare conditions or maybe something that's not really, may not be all that relevant to everybody. But today I'm going to go over some very common complaints that come into my clinic and how exactly your chiropractor can help and how you can help your chiropractor. I'm also going to go through a few of the more common types of headaches this morning. But I'll get to those in a few minutes. And as always, if you are listening to our show this morning and you've got a chiropractic question that you want answered this morning live on the air, send us a text message. I love getting text messages from you guys. It makes it more applicable to you. You're sitting there listening. Why not send in a text? It's easy. What's that number, Jenna?
Yeah, please call us, text us. Our lines are open 850-437-1620.
Okay, so I treat lots of different conditions in my clinic. Knees, hips, elbows, neck pain, back pain. I mean, those are pretty obvious. But no matter what the condition is, my patients are going to fall into one of two categories. Some of my patients, they're going to come into the clinic and they've been going to chiropractors their whole lives. And that's really, really fortunate for them. Maybe their parents introduced them to chiropractic care at an early age, and they were smart enough as adults to continue that trend. Generally, these patients, when they come in, they tell me what treatments they've had in the past, what they liked, what they didn't like, what they've had some success with. They're going to say how frequently or infrequently, hopefully, that their pains come and go. And typically, if they stick to their normal routine of exercising and stretching and that routine chiropractic maintenance that's become part of their life, their pain is actually pretty well managed. And I'll tell you what, these guys make my job relatively easy because they understand that they'll undergo an initial treatment plan, which is going to include some appointments at the clinic, as well as some home exercises and therapies that will help the chiropractic work that I'm doing get you the best results. But to be honest, they're not really my favorite patients. My favorite patients to see, I call them green patients. And these are patients that they're not actually green, but they've never been to a chiropractor before. They're not even sure when they call to make the appointment and they come into the office. They don't even know if they're in the right place. They don't know what to expect during an examination. They don't know how chiropractic care works. I mean, it's like the first time you try anything. You don't know what you don't know yet. And these guys are my favorite because I get the opportunity to teach them. And I'm not talking about teaching them all the complicated anatomy or neurology behind their condition. I'm talking about going over some basics, some stuff about why their body is feeling the way that it is and how we're going to help them get better. And I intentionally use the word we there, how we are going to help them get better. And that's an important concept that I think many people in our society take for granted, that when you go see a doctor, many times and the majority of the time, they're going to require some sort of compliance for the doctor's orders, right? The things that they're going to advise you to do outside of that clinic. And maybe some of those things people aren't really going to want to do because they're not used to it. It's not part of their routine. It's not a habit that they already have. But a lot of times I've found that it's because they may not really understand the why we're asking patients to change those habits or lifestyles. And I'm not just talking about chiropractors. This goes for all of your doctors. One of the most commonly prescribed things. I know a lot of people out there are taking these statins for high cholesterol. It's very common. I looked it up the other day, and I think it was close to like half of men over 65 or older are taking these statins for high cholesterol levels. But I can almost guarantee you that when you first started going to your primary care doctor and they ordered some blood work, they can tell a lot of stuff about your body just by looking at your blood. They may have noticed some high cholesterol, and I bet the first conversation, unless you're really high on that spectrum, wasn't, here's some medication. I bet they started to talk to you about some advice regarding nutrition, some exercise. And I, you know, that's just the first step that you should be taking and continue to take. But I'd be willing to bet the amount of people that have been following their doctor's orders and recommendations for diet and exercise are significantly lower than those that are following their doctor's orders to go to the pharmacy once a month and take that pill once a day. And that's really unfortunate, because some of these patients, they may have been able to manage that cholesterol simply by just changing their diet a little bit and beginning an exercise routine. And I'll tell you what, both of those things, that dietary changes, monitoring what you eat, and exercising, those things are going to have a significant beneficial impact on your life, as opposed to taking a medication, which is going to come with an extensive list of side effects and precautions. It's just, that's what you should be doing. Like, listen to the doctors. You listen to them when they say take the medication. Why aren't you paying attention to the rest of the stuff they're telling you? And this mirrors a conversation that I have with many of my patients, and specifically those that are new to chiropractic, those green patients. They may not have heard this information before, but when a patient comes into my clinic complaining of back or neck pain, there's a reason that that is happening. And it's my job, through an examination and maybe some imaging, to diagnose what's causing those symptoms. Then, based on the patient, I develop a treatment plan, and it's based on a variety of factors, right? I take age into consideration, their current level of conditioning, how severe their symptoms are. There's a lot of comorbidities that are going to change what I have you do and how I have you do it. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it, but that's how I develop these treatment plans. And one of the most important parts of this patient's first visit, you know, we get in, I do the initial consultation, we do the examination, but then there's this portion that I call the report of findings. And that's where we sit down together and I go over with you what the source of your pain is, how we're going to make it better, and attempt to prevent it from coming back. And this is the most time-consuming thing that I do during my days. And it's why I block off specific times each day to see new patients. I mean, this stuff takes a while. I'd say most new patient visits take about an hour to complete from the time you walk into the door until you walk out of the clinic and get into your car. And the majority of that hour, you're going to spend with me in the back consultation room, in the examination room. It's just you and I back there. We're going through all this stuff. But that's how much I value the education part of your care. It's not only important to me, but the research shows, and I found it to be true in my clinic as well, that the more a patient understands about their condition and their treatment plan, the better outcomes they have in regards to pain and reducing that pain, as well as returning to a normal quality of life for them. You know, this doesn't mean that after the hour or so we spend together, I'm going to take a patient's back who's 65 years old and make them feel like they're 20 again. That's not what I'm talking about. But again, what I've discovered is that if I explain why you need to come for each visit that I'm prescribing you, and how and why each of these exercises is going to help strengthen your body, and how to modify some different activities that are provoking your pain or to help you prevent, you know, putting your body in these compromising positions. If I go over those basics of your treatment plan with you and you really understand them, you know, I give you time to, and I not only do I give you time, but I encourage you to ask questions. I found that these patients will truly go home that day with the knowledge and the confidence that they have the tools to help me get them better. Because chiropractic care, like a lot of care that you get from your doctors, it should really be a team effort. You know, with just stretching or exercising alone, you won't be able to correct these joint dysfunctions that's the cause of the majority of the patient's symptoms that I see. And while I'm able to do a lot through chiropractic manipulation and therapies in the clinic and some of the exercises and stretches that I'm going to have you do while you're there with me, that's going to help restore that normal joint mobility. But without following your home care, the chances of you experiencing these symptoms again, it just increases. I mean, why would you spend all the time and resources and money with me in the clinic and then go home and just set yourself up for failure? Follow the treatment plans, guys. Like, finish what we're starting. And so why is it important that you as my patient, or really anyone that's under chiropractic care for that matter, why is it important that you follow these treatment plans that I develop, right? Well, your chiropractor, and myself included, has spent at least 8 years in the state of Florida, because you have to graduate with a bachelor's degree and then as a doctor of chiropractic. We've spent a long time studying the human body and anatomy and how your body is going to respond to aging or different injuries and the way these joints work and how they should work and what it looks like when they're dysfunctional. So we as chiropractors, we are the experts on this stuff. And our decisions and care recommendations, these aren't just wild guesses, right? I'm not just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. You know, this isn't things that we may think are just going to help your condition. These treatment plans that we come up with are based on years of research, and it's backed up by the most recent scientific evidence. We have to take so many hours of continuing education each year to learn what the research is showing for these new studies that they do every single year. And to follow that, we use conservative care to reduce your pain and prevent further episodes. That prevention of further episodes is huge, right? And that last part, it's really important. I can't talk too much about the American healthcare system's approach to preventative care and screenings. I get too fired up. I mean, we should be spending significantly more time preventing these things in our, not just chiropractic conditions, but all of them. Get screened, get tested before these things become a big issue. I get too worked up talking about that. But if I took a survey out on the street and I told people that, you know, barring some horrific accident, they could significantly reduce their chances of having a back surgery during their life, I'd say pretty much everyone would be interested in that, right, Jenna? Like, if I said, hey, I got a couple things you can do and you're going to reduce the chance you have a back surgery in your lifetime.
I would sign up 100%.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. I don't think very many people are really, you know, on their to-do list or that bucket list. Back surgery, probably not on anybody's list there.
I'm good.
I've got news for you guys out there. It does exist. Like that, there's no, you know, secret recipe. This stuff is pretty prominent in our society. You've got to move. You've got to strengthen those core muscles that support your spine. You've got to stretch those hips that you're forcing to sit for hours on end every day at work. I remember hearing an old saying, and I didn't quite understand it when I was younger. I don't know if it was the measurements or what it was, but it fits nicely to what we're talking about. Jenna, have you ever heard the saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure?
No, but I love it.
Yeah, maybe I just didn't understand the ounce pound thing when I was younger, but yeah, that's maybe my dad said it. I don't know. Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It just fits so nicely there, right? Like if you can prevent something from happening, that is so much better than how long it takes and the suffering to go through those surgeries. Prevent this stuff before it becomes an issue. And I remember when I first started these radio shows with Dr. Neil, and we would get talking about something and he would bring up this downward spiral of degeneration. And I was kind of naive at the time. I thought that was something that everybody understood, right? If your joints aren't functioning well, they're going to degenerate faster, right? Made sense to me. I just spent years studying this in chiropractic school. I deal with it every single day. Like, of course, right? Like, why does he keep going on about this? Well, As it turned out, not everybody had that chiropractic education like I did, and maybe they didn't quite grasp the concept so well. So why was this degeneration a downward spiral? And let me begin by saying some amount of degenerative change is unavoidable, right? We're humans on planet Earth, most of us, unless you spend some time at the International Space Station. We've got this thing that we're fighting every single morning when we get up. It's called gravity, right? And fortunately for us, that keeps all of our feet on the ground. But for your back and those weight-bearing joints, gravity is going to take a toll over time, and the cartilage between those joint spaces will slowly wear out. But if one of your joints is not moving properly, we call it in our profession joint dysfunction. These are the joints that are going to wear down faster, and you're going to have more arthritic changes there than the joints that are moving the way that they're supposed to. Again, we can't do anything about gravity. I mean, you can spend some time in the pool, you know, that feels good, but the majority of your life, you got to fight that. But it's sort of like the way your car tires are going to wear out, right? If you drive your car, it's inevitable. Those tires will wear down over time. But if one of those tires is out of balance, it's going to wear out faster than the others. The tread on that tire is going to look different than it should, and it's going to be different than the other ones. Except when your car tires start wearing out, they don't hurt when you get in your car. And I've got even better news. You can replace those car tires. You get one spine for your entire life. If you injure those knees, or you really wear them out, you're a runner, and you just are pounding the pavement every day, no problem. Get a knee replacement when you're older. Break a hip, get a new one. Jenna, have you ever heard of anybody getting a neck replacement?
Not yet.
Low back replacement?
Not so much.
Yeah, nobody's heard of this stuff because they don't have it yet. That's just not something we can do. So it's very important that you take care of your back, because guess what? That's the only one you're going to get. Going back to some of those younger patients that I see, maybe their parents sent them in, or you know, maybe they just thought to pick up the phone and call a chiropractor. And some of these younger patients I have, maybe they're just starting into the workforce, right? They went from being in school, now they're sitting at a desk all the time. Or I have some that are even in high school, and they'll come in and they'll say, "Hey, my pain's not terrible, just kind of irritating," right? They're still young, 20 years old, you bounce still at that age, and they aren't really even sure if they should do anything about it. And I say, you know what, I want you to do something. I want you to go home tonight and call your parents if you're not living at home, or ask them, or your grandparents, ask them if they've ever experienced any back pain. And then I want you to ask them one more question. Ask them if that got better as they got older. They almost inevitably come back and they say, yeah, my parents have had some back pain, and no, it does not get better as you get older. But that's why these kids are at such a big advantage. Because if you're only 20, the chances of you having really bad arthritis, guess what? That's pretty low, unless you have some, you know, really rare condition, or God forbid you've been in some horrific accident and had some terrible injuries. So I can get those joints moving again and help you from preventing going into that downward degenerative cycle. Because once you've got arthritis, there's really no way of reversing it. I mean, I can help you reduce the pain. I treat patients with arthritis all the time, and I make sure that those surrounding joints aren't the next one to go down the degenerative cycle, but there's nothing that's going to undo that arthritis once it's there. And before I run out of time this week, I know we said we'd get into some headaches, so I do want to touch on that a little bit, but that part of the patient education for that initial visit, especially those patients that have never been to a chiropractor, it's important that they understand what exactly it is we're trying to accomplish, how chiropractic care works. If you're having questions at any of your doctors, ask them. Ask them why we're taking this medication, how it's supposed to work. You don't need the pharmacological details. You don't need, I don't need to explain the neuroanatomy to you. You just need to kind of know some basics so you'll realize why I'm asking you to do what I'm telling you to do at home. It works so much better when we're all on the same page, on the same team, trying to get that goal. Jenna, are you a headache person, or do you get headaches?
Not so much anymore, because I go to the chiropractor regularly.
Good. Okay. Yeah.
I had to throw that in there because it's the truth.
Yeah. Headaches are a very common problem that I see. And again, typically most people, occasionally I'll get somebody that comes in and they say, yeah, the only reason I'm here is because I get these headaches. But this is one of those I also have kind of things. Mm-hmm. It's, I've got neck pain, I've got mid-back pain. Oh, and that's always a question I ask. Do you get headaches? Some people, it's, you know, I'd say about one in three I get headaches. So wake up with one every morning. Oof. Like, that is a miserable way to start every day.
Yeah, man. I can't. And sometimes, like, honestly, when I've talked to my chiropractor, I will tell you that my headaches are either from not drinking a lot of water or an older injury. And I've skipped my monthly maintenance with the chiropractor. And I'm doing things that aren't beneficial to my chiropractic health.
Yep, that's a lot of it. Stay up with the routine adjusting. The research backs that stuff up. And injuries, that's another big predisposition to, hey, are you going to have an issue with this later on in life? There's a couple different classifications of headaches. I'm sure most people have heard of migraines, right? You know about migraines, Jenna.
Mm-hmm. I do not get them, thankfully. Oof.
They're kind of a more vascular neurologic issue.
Mm-hmm.
But few people really know, you know, can name very many other types of headaches out there. Maybe we'll do a trivia question next week and send in, you know, three different types of headaches or something. I'll think about that one. But one of the most common types of headaches that I want to talk about this morning, a cervicogenic headache. See if this sounds familiar to you, Jenna. Have you ever had a headache that feels kind of deep and at the same time your neck feels a little more stiff, maybe tender? You find yourself kind of rubbing or grabbing at the back of your neck?
Yeah, I had that actually a lot after my car accident.
Yeah, that's a big one. Whiplash will definitely be one of the big risk factors for getting these cervicogenic headaches. And that's probably a really common one out there for most people. You've probably suffered from one of these cervicogenic headaches at some point in your life. And the theory behind these is that they're caused by these dysfunctional joints that have irritated the nerves that exit from the base of your skull and upper part of your neck. Those joints become misaligned and they're dysfunctional, and now they're, you know, pressing on those nerves. They've got them irritated. But there's good news for anybody out there that does suffer from these things, is that they respond extremely well to chiropractic care. There was a study from the Spine Journal, which is a really, really good research journal, that found that spinal manipulations cut the number of days that people suffered from these type of headaches in half. And if you, again, if you ask anybody that has these headaches, if you want me to reduce that number in half, that's almost an immediate yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a weird one. I thought this was really interesting. The number of treatments directly correlated to the amount of improvement. I mean, that's pretty rare. Typically, you see that kind of plateauing, like, hey, we're getting better, better. Then it kind of tapers off. That's not what this study found. If you have these headaches frequently, the more you're able to go get in and get the treatments and do these things, the better you get. And like everything else, like Jenna was saying, the whiplash kind of predisposes her to these types of headaches. There's a few circumstances that may delay some of your progress, whiplash being one of them. These headaches are typically seen more in women than men, kind of a pretty high rate, about 4 to 1. Sorry for all you ladies out there listening. Typically, these are going to begin in the mid-30s to 40s, and again, common in trauma, like neck trauma patients. But migraines, let's talk a little about that before we have to get out of here. Probably the most well-known headache and least understood type of headache. They're well-known, unfortunately, because they're pretty debilitating for those of you that are unfortunate enough to have to suffer from these. And again, seen more in women than men, but there's a couple risk factors, a pretty strong genetic component. If one of your parents has migraines, there's about a 50% chance you're going to have them as well. Both parents, you're going to have a 75% chance to get these migraine headaches. And real quick, before we have to go, how can we manage these? Chiropractic care falls under the prophylactic treatment, like how to prevent them from happening as opposed to the how to treat them when they are happening. But I'm running short on time, and I got a little bit more I want to talk about some of these migraine headaches next week. So if you have any questions about those, text them in. I'll get them next week when we're on the show. But that's all the time I have. Jenna, thank you again for hosting this week. Thank you, everybody that texted in. I'm sorry I didn't get to any of you guys. I'll get to it next week. I'm Dr. Ben McMillan. My practice is the Neal Clinic, 850-479-SPINE.